Hi, my name is Daniel Garber, and I review movies for CulturalMining.com and Take 5 CIUT 89.5 FM.
Today, I'm going to review some mainstream adventure movies and talk about the adventures in art films at the Images Festival in Toronto. It seems to me that commercial movies try to be as accessible as possible, often to the point of excess, while art tries to be as inaccessible as it can while still conveying the ideas, designs, or aesthetics. The current 3D fan is sometimes described as making movies feel like the ultimate real thing. Hollywood wants to artificially give the illusion of reality, to make you feel like you're part of the movie experience, to make it easy to like. The movie itself, on the other hand, often slips into high concept, an extremely simple idea churned out into a film that the producers believe will make money. The art side, though, seems to take the opposite approach, often equating complexity, difficulty, opaqueness, or inaccessibility with artistic success. Anything considered overly simplistic or too easy to get is bad. Ambiguity, confusion, and occasionally randomness is good. Taken to its extreme, we sometimes encounter conceptual art, where the idea, the concept, takes precedent over the art itself. So, I used to picture a continuum, a line, a piece of string, where easy to understand and simplistic, Hollywood, was on one end, harder to understand and more complicated, independent artistic foreign movies, were toward the other end, and way, way beyond that was actual art on film at the extreme end. But somewhere on the way, someone picked up the extreme art end of the line and pulled it all the way back around into a loop where it met the simplistic, easy-to-get Hollywood side again. Conceptual art meets high-concept movies. I think they both tend to suck, but conceptual art usually sucks more when it's as bad as Hollywood, but not entertaining either. The Images Festival had a lot of films where, while not conceptual, they did experiment with altering the usual expectations of a movie by eliminating one aspect. So, Luo Li's movie, I Went to the Zoo the Other Day, left out the expected language of a Canadian film and instead had the script translated into Serbian with English subtitles. A movie by Ross McLaren, Summer Camp, eliminated making a film, instead collecting found TV audition footage. John Grayson's short film Covered, about the closing down of a gay and lesbian festival in Sarajevo by right-wing protesters, replaced the usual narrative structure in favor of telling most of his story via non-stop subtitles and extensive text on the screen superimposed on beautiful images of dead birds and found music from YouTube. Finally, I saw one show called No Images at the Images Festival, where they tried to experiment by eliminating the ultimate factor in art films, the visual part. Unfortunately, it was all sizzle, no steak. They called it No Images, sort of like Naomi Klein's No Logo, I guess. There was an audience, there was a screen, but there would be nothing visible at all, a movie experience without images. This sounded really interesting, so I made sure to go to this. They put a lot of work into creating a mystique for the audience. We had to stand in a line close together where we'd be led into the theater in absolute pitch black. The person in front of you would be sitting right beside you. Be sure to use the toilet before. There'd be no coming and going during the performance. And nothing glowing, no cell phones, not even anything shiny would be allowed into the theater. It would be pitch darkness. If you succumbed to absolute terror or claustrophobia or fear of the dark, the safe word was help. Just say it and an usher would guide you back to safety. Wow, looking good. I pictured exotic smells, rumbling seats, avant-garde music, maybe itching powder on the chairs. Who knew what they would do? They had an hour, and the world was their oyster. But what did we get? First, a woman talked about the tape she found that contained the recorded silence found in different rooms. Then there were 15 minutes of strange cello-like sounds playing just one creaky note like this. For 15 minutes. Then 15 recorded minutes of two women joking around, saying to the audience, "It's pitch black in there. Are you using the darkness to feel each other's boobies?" And the fourth quarter hour. That's where things went really scary. Here's what the last 15 unbearably long minutes were. And cover your ears. This is what it sounded like. "This is my voice. I am speaking to you. I am a speaker. You are listening," etc. I'm thinking, no. No, make this guy stop. Shut up, please. You're an ass. Please, shut up. It was like being trapped at a wedding table by the worst drunken boor who somehow got hold of a microphone and really liked the sound of his voice. It was an unintentionally kindergartenish, obnoxiously awful, excruciatingly awful recording that no one should have listened to. It didn't stretch the margins of art and film. It abused it. Sound images without pictures may be experimental for some, but to you and me, it's called radio. At the far opposite end of the spectrum, here are three current movies for general audiences. Percy Jackson and the Olympians, The Lightning Thief, Clash of the Titans in 3D, and How to Train a Dragon in 3D. The Lightning Thief, based on the book by Rick Riordan, is a kid's movie about a dyslexic high schooler, Percy, who lives with his mother and stepfather in a small town, who discovers things are not what they seem. His best friend is a satyr, his favorite teacher is a centaur, and he's being chased by evil monsters, and he may even be a demigod himself. So he goes to a secret training camp in the woods with other people who have mythical connections. But his mother's kidnapped, and Percy has to find out who stole lightning and rescue her from Hades. In Clash of the Titans, the Greek gods think humans have forgotten them, so they agree to follow Hades' advice to make the humans suffer so they'll respect them again. Perseus, Zeus's son, hears Hades' ultimatum: sacrifice Princess Andromeda or all hell will break loose. Perseus joins with his confreres and his watcher Io on a quest to consult the witches, fight the desert scorpions, find Medusa, save Andromeda, and defeat Hades in order to bring goodness and order back to the world. Finally, in the kids' animated movie How to Train Your Dragon, Vikings with Scottish brogues live on an island where they are tormented by dragons who steal their sheep and wreak havoc. The Vikings live mainly to capture and kill the various fire-breathing creatures, but young Hiccup, an inventive nonconformist, doesn't want to kill dragons. When he discovers a disabled Night Fury dragon that he names Toothless, Hiccup fashions a prosthesis and learns the secret of all the dragons as he trains him like a pet. But his dad enrolls him in a gladiator-like training camp to teach him to kill the dragons. Are dragons the dreaded enemies of the Vikings, or are they just like puppy dogs? Of these three movies, I liked How to Train Your Dragon best. The 3D effects were great, the characters likable, and it was a funny, interesting story with a lot of breathtaking scenes and battles and a good amount of suspense. At times, it felt like being in a good video game, weaving between rock formations, through the clouds, flying under the northern lights, and I mean that as a compliment. The Lightning Thief was fun, with some clever scenes like the Lotus Eaters trapped in a Las Vegas casino, but also some glitches like excessive product placement where Percy uses a shiny iPod, not a shield, to stop himself from looking directly at the Gorgon. Clash of the Titans was bad, but was sort of a guilty pleasure. Cheesy, with so-so 3D effects, ridiculously stupid story, and an awful dated aesthetic. The gods have a 70s sort of glow to them, like they're wearing disco-era sequins shot through a Vaseline-covered camera lens. The sort of scenes you can giggle at with friends late at night as the actors chew up the scenery. Ironically, Clash of the Titans is meant for an older audience than the other two, but it was definitely the dumbest of the three. Just to recap, I talked about How to Train Your Dragon, The Lightning Thief, and Clash of the Titans, and films at Toronto's Images Festival. This is Daniel Garber reviewing movies every Friday on Take 5 CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.